You're dealing with male promiscuity, female promiscuity, just promiscuity, period. That person can never be satisfied.
Can you please walk us through that spiritual transaction?
Sex within itself outside of God's will is going to be witchcraft because it's like a ritual. I'm doing something that invokes power. That's the most addictive thing you can give a person, which is why you have multimillionaires or billionaires that will get to the top and still kill themselves. They think that that's going to make them feel good. It doesn't exist. The flesh cannot be satisfied. Every sin has a reward. The reward ultimately is going to be death. And that sounds crazy, right?
I would never frame it with that title.
Words are nothing but spells. Once you start to feed it, you just put a seed in the ground, and that seed is demon food.
How is it that somebody who is fornicating to have the conviction to really stop and know, like, no, this is wrong?
Yeah, I know this is wrong, but I still got this desire. The body was not designed for fornication. Well, you can come do this, and it'll make you feel better.
We don't look at it as a sin anymore.
I'm breaking me while pleasuring me at the same time. But it's only a matter of time because perversion doesn't care. That same man, they start to look at children. Demons don't come in and make people bad. They come in and make them worse.
If they're trapped in this cycle, how is it that they find a way out? Like, what exactly should they do? What's going on, initiates? My name is Jessica Lay McDonald, and I want to welcome you guys to another episode of Hardly Initiated. Today is going to be an episode that's really layered because I really want to dive deep into lust, adultery, as well as infidelity, but I want to talk about it from a spiritual realm instead of an earthly one. So I have somebody that is so amazing with me here today. You guys know her as Anointed Fire, but she actually comes with that fire, okay? She is a deliverance minister. She is an author. Miss Tiffany Buckner, how are you?
I am great. No complaints. How are you?
I'm good. I'm amazing.
So good to sit with you.
So good to have
you. Thank you.
Look amazing.
You look gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
So yeah. So I kind of want to get into the conversation for today because last time we spoke a little bit about adultery in our last episode. But I think before we even get into adultery, there's something else that starts that. And it's the spirit of lust. So I really want to go into a spiritual realm so that people have like a more depth understanding of how this even comes about. And then when it comes about, how do we navigate those things?
So when lust, it needs to have an ungodly desire for it. I mean, that the desire goes opposite of God. And so typically what happens is if you think of the word like Satan, it means adversary, and which means adverse. It comes from. So it, I always look at it this way. God is facing to the right. Adversary faces to the left. And so that's what lust is that I'm no longer walking with God. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? You got to be in agreement with God in order to walk with God. And so lust comes in whenever the desire for something outside of the will of God starts to come in. And this is when we start tapping into our fallen nature. We start tapping into those things. And if those things are fed, they grow. I always say, whatever you feed will grow. Whatever you starve will die. So that's how it gets in.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting you mention that because James, actually, I was looking at this scripture earlier today. James 14 and 15, temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when the sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death.
The Bible tells us that God is love. So lust is the opposite of love because the desire of love is that we have everlasting life and that we live abundantly. But when it comes down to lust, it is whatever Adam and Eve fed within, when they were in the garden, when Satan came and he tempted them, he said, you will be as God, knowing all things. And in this, he's saying, you'll be an independent woman. You'll be independent of anything. You won't have to figure out, you don't have to ask God questions. You'll be your own God. And so what he did was in that garden, he opened the door for lust. And since then, human beings have this desire to be like God. And you see it all the time. When people are out there, it's just like having to wait on God means to crucify the flesh, to die to yourself. And truthfully, your flesh don't want to do that. And so your flesh is a war, your flesh and your spirit war with one another. Your flesh don't want to die. Your flesh wants to live. And so your flesh gives you ungodly desires. And if you feed them, they begin to grow. And that's all lust is just feeding those desires. But your spirit man aligns with God. Your spirit man wants to live. And so there's this fight within ourselves, whereas we're trying to figure out how do I serve God, but at the same time deal with these desires that I have. But the core of every desire is to be like God. That was the original sin. So that's the thing that got plugged into us. How am I to be, not even be like God, but to be my own God? So I don't have to worry about money. I don't have to worry about this because
I sold my car in Carvana last night.
Well, that's cool.
No, you don't understand. It went perfectly. Real offer, down to the penny. They're picking it up tomorrow. Nothing went wrong.
So what's the problem?
That is the problem. Nothing in my life goes as smoothly. I'm waiting for the catch.
Maybe there's no catch.
That's exactly what a catch would want me to think.
Wow, you need to relax.
I need to knock on wood. Do we have wood? Is this table wood?
I think it's laminate.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's close enough.
Car selling without a catch. Sell your car today on Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
The enemy stole from us in the garden was he stole from us everything that God imputed into us, everything that made us whole. And so what we're doing, we're on this journey trying to become whole again. Genuinely, every time, like when you're going out there chasing, you're a lot of single women chasing relationships. A lot of people chasing just maybe platforms, they're chasing money, they're chasing power. But it is really a desire to be made whole again. It's just that hunger within. It's the desire to get back to the place that we fell from. But lust is that desire within, that flesh, that thing that was fed that says, continue to feed me and I am your God. That's what the flesh wants. The flesh wants to be your God. Your flesh wants to rule over. So you're dealing with, within the human being, you're dealing with two. So you're dealing with polytheism. You're having to fight down polytheism, which is a desire to have another God at the same time while serving Yahweh. And so that's all lust is the fight between the spirit and the flesh. The flesh is what brings us to lust. The flesh is what has those ungodly desires, the things that Satan put into us or what have you. So that's all it is. It's just basically a desire to make your flesh, allow your flesh to take the front seat when it's supposed to be in the back seat.
So the Bible talks about not fornicating and the church just tells us to just wait, right? But nobody really talks about how to wait. And I feel like there's a missing gap there. So what would you say spiritually and practically that people can do to learn how to really govern themselves in a season of abstinence?
What religion did, and I think this is where we had our biggest mistake, religion made us get into behavior modification. So basically, okay, I know this is wrong, but I still got this desire. I still feel pulled to this. I still want this. One of the things I learned, because I used to be a fornicator deep into it, and it's really idolatry. Realistically speaking, it's the core of it is idolatry. But when I was in it, I didn't have enough word in me to stop. So my flesh had more words, words that I've spoken over myself, words that my parents, people that have spoken into my life. I had more words in me, but I didn't have the word in me. David said, I took your word and I stored it within my heart so that I would not sin against you. So one, the desire never leaves. You know, I've been absent in 12 years by the grace of God. The desire never leaves. And, you know, especially if you have given in to the desire before, the desire never leaves. And I know people that are virgins and they still have the desire because that's the fallen nature. The desire never leaves. As a matter of fact, it's not even bad to have the desire, right? It's bad to have the desire to go outside of God's will because sex is a natural thing between a husband and a wife, and the desire is there for your spouse. But we, in order to crucify it, you have to ignore it. And in this, you have to be careful what you take in. If you listen to certain music, it's going to encourage it. It's going to speak words. And I always say words are nothing but spells. Realistically speaking, this is where we get the word spelling. So if I'm listening to R. Kelly, I'm listening to it.
I never thought about that.
Yes. And I'm like, what I'm doing is I'm putting a spell on myself, because as I'm listening to the music, it's taking me into a certain emotion. It's giving me thoughts. The Bible says, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Well, if I'm not casting it down, or if I'm listening to R. Kelly, if I'm listening to music, that tells me. Right. So now I'm taking their imagination. And so when it comes down, for example, to R. Kelly's lyrics, that's a spell. When you're listening to music, it's a spell. All it is like music, especially ungodly music, is nothing but witchcraft put to a beat. That's it. Because this is what witches do. They chant. And so what you do, or what they're doing, is they create a rhythm to it, which helps your imagination to hold it a lot longer, and then to get it into your heart, the very heart God told you to guard. And so when you're doing that, it brings you into an emotion, it brings you into a feeling, and it feels right. And everything that feels right, you want to explore a little bit deeper. This is why a lot of people, when they're trying to avoid fornication, for example, they will say, I'm not going to do anything with him. I'm just going to go over to his house and we're just going to hang out. But once they get over there, it's not wise, because once they get over there, there's going to be a feeling. He's saying the right things. I want to sit closer. And then once they get closer, even though they've told themselves in the car, I'm not going to do anything. Once they get closer, touch hands, it feels good. I want to go deeper. And then once the kiss goes in, I want to go deeper. And that's what happens is you're lured into it by your own imagination or even those words, the words in the music or what have you. So all of these things are the things that cause us to get pulled into lust. All of these things that keep us pouring into it, feeding it. And once it's fed, it starts to have this greater hunger. It's been made a culture here to have boyfriend, girlfriend, people shacking up. And the more a thing is fed, the more celebrity it becomes. That means it's been celebrated. So then it becomes, it starts to be mildly celebrated until it becomes culture, until it becomes normalized. And the root word of culture is cult.